Good morning, everyone. Today is July 2nd, 2024. It's 10:01 a.m. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Item number three on today's agenda is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number four, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. You can all join me in that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, on to item number five, is public comment. Public comment is welcome at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment is again welcomed after each item on the agenda, and those items should be limited to the agendized topic. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per individual. With that said, is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature, the chat feature. And if you happen to be calling in, I believe it's star six to unmute yourself and star nine to raise your hand. All right, not seeing any public comment, we're going to move right along to item number six. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for the July 2nd, 2024 meeting. County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to today's agenda?
We asked for two changes, Mr. Chairman. One is to remove number 25, that is the NV Energy easement. And then the other one is to continue number 26 to the July 16, 2024 board meeting here at the courthouse and on Zoom.
All right.
One is the Lockwood Senior Center. There's a couple things to update with our team.
Okay. Any other changes?
No.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about today's agenda, sir?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thanks.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, care to make a motion with the noted changes?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the two noted changes, specifically to remove item 25 and to continue item 26 to our July 16th, 2024 meeting here at the courthouse.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the April 2nd, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about that set of minutes, sir?
No question. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? All right, not seeing any, Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our April 2nd, 2024 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number eight, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the April 16th, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about those minutes?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
No, there could be. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our April 16th, 2024 meeting as presented.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item nine on today's agenda is the consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about the consent agenda?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I was just curious about the sub item three is a business license approval, and I don't know if there's a particular reason it's listed separately from the others.
I'm happy to answer that, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Austin Osborne, for the record, the sheriff's office is here, but this is a sheriff's non-liquor, non-cabaret type of item. That is why it's separated from the others. It's not part of community development.
Perfect. Thank you. That's my only question.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
You. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 10, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-732, recognizing and commending a Story County employee who has served 10 years of service to the county. Brandy?
Good morning, Commissioners. Brandy Lopez for the record. Excuse me, I'm not feeling very well today. The proposed resolution recognizes and commends a Story County employee who has served 10 years of service to this to Story County. We appreciate and thank this employee for his service to the citizens, business, and stakeholders of the county. The resolution states, whereas the aforementioned member of the Story County team has provided 10 years of service to the community of Story County, whereas the aforementioned is dedicated to his job and duties to the community of Story County, and whereas the aforementioned is gracious and giving of his time and expertise, therefore, let it be known to all that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby commend and honor the aforementioned member of the Story County team for dedication and service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this second day of July, 2024. This is honoring Jim Hindle, our clerk treasurer.
Wonderful. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any comments. Thank you.
All right. Jim, you said you had a speech prepared or no?
Yeah.
Wonderful. We got it. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any. I just want to thank you, Jim, for your time on the Planning Commission, which has been very important and much appreciated. And then now you stepped up to the big leagues. Now you're a clerk treasurer. So thank you for that.
As I told Austin, you know, time flies when you're being flawed.
I'm telling you, right? Awesome. Well, wonderful.
So we approve it first. And then
yeah, let's do the motion. Sorry. Vice Chairman, you ready for a motion?
Yeah. No. Just a second. Yeah, I'm leaving. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-732, recognizing and commending a Story County employee who has served 10 years of service to the county, namely Jim Hindle.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Photo time?
Sure. Thank you, sir. Wish you were here, Lance.
Yeah. I just want to make note, the plaque is not ready for Jim, so he won't have a plaque like everybody else.
It's okay.
You get your cup now.
You do get a cup.
Oh, yeah. Paper cup.
We take an increment
of monitors so that we
think it's going to be in the room. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Austin, for being able to count. I didn't think. I thought I only had 2 years.
That's 2 years.
Well, I'm thinking it's not there. Like,
time served.
How many years beyond the benefit?
All right. On to item number 11. This is discussion only, no action, no public comment. These are committee and staff reports, and we're going to kick things off with the Sheriff's Office.
Commissioners, good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. I have a couple of things here, actually three. Recently, we conducted the emergency management, Adam Wilson, Chief Longcar, and myself, a public safety awareness town hall up in the Highlands, addressing the fire danger and evacuations. It turned out really good. We had a great turnout. A lot of folks were there. A lot of people were interested. I learned a lot about trees and beetles, for one. but it was actually very, was a very good conversation between all the Highlands residents that showed up, and that was a very successful meeting. Another thing, I have three deputies, Deputy Felipe, Saidi, and O'Brien. They'll be going to the Nevada Post Academy on July 15th for 4 months to get trained for patrol purposes. And the last thing, I'd like to thank the VFW Evans Kendall Post 8071. They donated $1,000 to our Cadet Explorer program, and they plan on making that an annual donation. Just a little plug for them. They're serving breakfast on the 4th at 7 o'clock and lunch at 10:30 at the Bucket of Blood parking lot.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sheriff.
Do you have anything for me?
Great update. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments for the Sheriff?
No questions. Thank you, Sheriff.
Vice Chairman?
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Moving right along to the Fire Protection District. Thank you, Chief. How about Public Works?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Project Manager, reporting for Director Wiersbeke. Public Works staff report, street sweeping will begin tomorrow to get streets all cleaned up for the holiday. Buildings and grounds, we'll have the parks ready for the 4th of July and the anticipated high occupancy parks and open areas. Number three, Union Street. We removed the fence and the K-rail next to the Delta saloon there. The Delta owner does still have some material staged along the side of the street, but his guys are working at a very fast pace to try and get the HVAC stuff installed and get the boardwalk rebuilt. So they're working on moving that material, and the road should be completely open by the 4th. Item four is the water storage tanks are currently being inspected and cleaned, particularly the raw water tank at 5 Mile. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments for Mike?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move right along to Operations and Projects Coordinator, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen. Lockwood Senior Center, as you heard, the staff is continuing evaluations of the submitted bids. We anticipate having a recommendation for the board the following meeting. Item two, the fairgrounds utilities improvements. Plans are at 100%. They are in plan review for building and fire permits. Work is underway on the RFP. We hope to have that published in about 2 weeks. Item three, the semi-annual inspections of the traffic signal systems is going to begin next week. This will be the existing systems at USA and I-80 and USA and Electric. Design on the proposed signal system at Electric and Milan is about the 30% stage and progressing. And work is ongoing at the signal system at USA and Innovation. Item four is Station 71. The RFP for the environmental report is out. We've had a couple of requests for clarification, so at least a little bit of interest in this, and we hope to have some qualified responses by next week. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike?
I have no questions. Thank you, Mike.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either.
Thank you,
Mike. Moving on to Business Development Director.
Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record.
Morning.
As of today, the county's annual community project grant is now open. This is our annual grant that we give out to the communities. It's $10,000 for the four areas that have been designated. So area one is Lockwood, Mustang, Painted Rock, and the Northeast. Area two is Lagomarsino and the Highlands. Number three is Gold Hill and Virginia City, and number four is Mark Twain. So each of those areas have the opportunity to apply for $10,000. This will be for a grant for projects that are community-based that benefit the community as a whole. And this is a wonderful opportunity for each of the commissioners to work with their constituents to come up with some projects, again, that can really help out the community as a whole. The applications are due no later than 5 p.m. on Friday, August 23rd. If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, issues, anything like that, they can speak with either Sarah Sturtz, our grants manager, or myself. And we can be reached at 847-0986. And I'm happy, we're both happy to provide information. We can email the applications, or they can come and pick them up from our office. We will have some ready for them. For an update on our federal community project funding request for 2025, at the last commissioner's meeting that I was at, I gave an update that Congressman Amade's office had submitted our Divide Water Main project for his CPF submittal for Story County. Last week, we were notified that Senator Cortez Masto submitted all four of our 2025 CPF requests. So kind of, you know, the routine for each year, the big step is for the congressmen or the senators to submit our requests to the committees. And then things change a lot as the federal budget goes through its process. So we monitor them and see where they are, where they go. We've been asked questions on each of the projects, which is really encouraging that the committees they've been submitted to are considering them. So as a reminder, the projects are the Long Valley Creek Hazard Mitigation Project. We are requesting $3 million. The Piper's Opera House building restoration, which is the west wall and A Street, we're requesting $1 million. The Divide Water Main Project, we are requesting $1 million. And the Mobile Emergency Command Center, we are requesting $239,000. So we will keep everybody posted as it goes through the federal budget process. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you for that report, Laura. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura?
Thank you, Laura. No questions.
Ms. Sherman?
Good, thank you.
Appreciate it. How about the planning department?
Good morning, Kathy Canfield for the record. So we are starting back up with our town hall meetings related to the master plan. And just for everybody's calendars, our first one for this second round of meetings will be on Thursday, July 11th. It will start at 6:15 and be at the Virginia City Senior Center. And we expect that to go to like 7:30. We're starting a little bit later that day because there's also a planning commission meeting before that. and then we'll start with some social media posts today or tomorrow. We're working on that. The next one we have scheduled is for Thursday, July 18th. That will be in the Mark Twain. And that one, we're anticipating that at 5:30 at the Community Center in Mark Twain. The third one will be August 1st, which is also a Thursday in Lockwood at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse. And then the fourth one will be Thursday, August 8th for the Highlands area. And that'll be at the Highlands Fire Station Community Center there starting at 5:32. So we'll be posting these on social media, but just so that everybody's kind of aware if they wanted to put those on their calendar early. The second thing was a few weeks ago, some of the county staff met with the EPA and NDEP about the Superfund issues and the mercury issues in Virginia City. At that meeting, they let us know that they're going to be doing some testing starting in, I think it's July 10th, those weeks, July 10th through the 26th is what they anticipate it being. They had gone around and contacted individual residential property owners and got voluntary compliance. So wherever they had anybody sign up that wanted to, they're going to be out there testing for mercury. And then we're they'll be sharing that with us then what they find from that. So if you see people around with those cars and stuff, that's what they're doing. And they're just doing it on properties where the homeowners have granted them access. So Any other questions?
Thank you, Kathy. Right, Commissioner Gilman, questions for Kathy?
No, thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
Mr. Sherman?
No, thank you.
Appreciate the update. Thanks. Up next, we have emergency management.
Morning, Commissioners. Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management, for the record. A couple of things. We have an excessive heat watch. It'll likely be upgraded to a warning by this weekend, starting Saturday morning and running through Tuesday morning. They're expecting temperatures to exceed 100 degrees in the valleys and likely above 90 to 100 up here. So prepare now. It is going to be very hot this weekend. And for the 4th of July, there is a moderate heat risk warning out for that day as well. So it'll also be hot. The emergency mass notification system is live. Everybody that was in Code Red has been successfully transferred over. But a lot of the information comes through very weird. Some people got emails, some didn't. So I really encourage everybody to go in and double check that information. And if you've never been signed up, please do sign up. The easiest way we can communicate with our residents, and especially if it's something quick like an evacuation and a wildfire, this is the best way we can get that information out. So we really want to encourage that. And the link to sign up is on the website and on our social media. And then lastly, our local emergency planning committee meets again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. out at the Karen Government Complex. And we'll also have a Zoom link available for that as well. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Adam. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
I do not. Thank you, Adam.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
Appreciate that. Up next, we have the VCTC.
Good morning. Tom Tuttle, Director of Tourism, for the record. A couple of updates. The mix and mingle coming up next week on the 9th at 6 p.m. over at Piper's Opera House. We'll be reviewing the camel races, getting the merchants involved, how they can get better acquainted with what can go on down at the fairground. So we encourage everybody to attend, learn a little bit more about making that happen for the merchants themselves. We've got a number of television interviews that will be coming up regarding 4th of July. So just be prepared for a couple of news crews. And a number of motor coaches will be arriving throughout the rest of the month of July. So we're excited to see some of the return of those coaches that are coming through. 4th of July details, obviously this coming Thursday, we will be setting up in the Delta parking lot beginning at 8 o'clock. The parade will have check-in from 10:30 to 11:30. They'll line up from Flowery south to the 4th Ward School. C Street closes to through traffic at 10:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. The parade begins moving north at around 11:15 so that they should arrive at the monument in the Delta parking lot right at 12 o'clock as a siren goes off. Viewing area will once again be set up around that area so that no cars will be able to park near the viewing area, that we can be able to have the chairs be able to set up comfortably and we don't have the kids darting in and out between cars to pick up candy. It is a very full parade, one of the biggest that we've had. 66 entries will be in that parade. So a reminder about the temperatures, that particularly as we have the parade, that it'll be a little bit warm as we go through. Bring umbrellas to have shade and watch for your pets. Make sure that their feet are covered as the asphalt will get very hot. The other part, the concert will be held in the Delta parking lot at 6 p.m. David John and the Comstock Cowboys. It is free. It will be on the northeast corner, overlooking Six Mile Canyon and the Sugarloaf. Fireworks will be at dusk. Last year, we set them off right about 9:15. We'd like to see about that same time. We are expecting a new moon, so the sky should be very dark and very starlit. Should be a great evening. The launch point will be over at the Ofer Dump. It's about a half a block to the north from where we've launched before, so it'll be a little bit more to the north. Our production crew has said that they'll try and get them back to the exact same spot, just so if you're looking to see where the fireworks are, that's where it'll be. August 2nd through the 3rd is Hot August Nights kickoff cruise here. Once again, a completely sold out crowd with an anticipated 400 cars to be lined up on the streets. We will close the streets at 6 a.m. to start bringing the cars in, and C Street should be open once again by 6 p.m. So in preparation for that, we will have a shuttle that will operate from Flowery down to the post office. So those that don't want to walk to the post office will be able to have a little ride to be able to get to and from. Camel races, September 6th through the 8th. We'll have Friday night. Once again, the discounted tickets can be picked up at the visitor center. So if you'd like to attend the Campbell races on Friday night, come by the visitor center in person. The ticket is only $10. So it's a great opportunity to see the Camel races. Saturday, we have a 10 o'clock show, a 2 o'clock show. Those shows are selling out quickly. In fact, a few of the categories are completely sold out at this point. We do anticipate the Camel Hump to come up onto C Street about 12:30. So once again, that's where we bring the Camel up and parade down through C Street, try and visit a few of the visitors that are coming and going. So Sunday, the final performance at 12 o'clock, and we will have three shuttles running from the fairgrounds to C Street this year. Last year we had two, so we've increased that a little bit to make it work a little better. That is my report.
Thank you, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
I do not. Thank you, Todd.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, appreciate the update. Comptroller. Comptroller's office, excuse me.
Your
Honor. Okay. How about the recorder's office? Thank you, Drew. The IT department. How about human resources? All right. Anybody from community development?
Pete's on. See Joe on that.
All right. How about senior center?
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. With all the changes and expansion that the senior center has been having, we have decided to change our department name to Health and Community Services, opening up our services to more than just seniors. Still, of course, providing all the same services to seniors, just expanding them. We received our grant funding for transportation and Homemaker at the same levels that we did last year. The transportation program is continually growing. This past fiscal year, we did over 40,000 miles in just senior rides. And Adam discussed the heat warning that is coming. We do have free fans available to anybody in need, help cool them down. And we're also working with Brooke at the Sheriff's Office. We have National Night Out coming up Tuesday, August 6th. And then that will be in Lockwood at the park. And then we have Sheriff's Night Out August 13th at Miners Park. Both those events run from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that is it.
Thank you for that update, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacy?
No, thank you, Stacy.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. How about the DA's office?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so it was good news. County Manager's office.
Morning, Mr. Commissioners. Austin, for the record, Osborne. Just one thing, we have released the Piper's Opera House request for qualifications for somebody to bid on that to operate the facility as well as restore the facility and engage in some type of a 501c3 activity that would qualify for grants and other things for both. So that will close on July 12th, and we anticipate if we do get a winning bidder, by the time we interview and go through the processes and review, and that group or whatever takes hold, probably take about 6 months worth of time for that transition to happen. We have been in communication with the VCTC director and his staff. They've been communicating with their folks as well as about what this transition might look like. And then at that point, I'm also on July 11 going to give a short presentation to the VCTC board, just an update of the RFQ and where we are, as that board has given direction for the county to proceed accordingly. And they will need an update. So I will be happy to let you know any questions or comments that come of that, as well as the status of this process and our team going through the RFQ.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
No questions. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate that update. How about the Clerk Treasurer's Office?
Clerk and Treasurer Jim Hindle. Again, thank you, Commissioners, and everybody for the recognition earlier. Much appreciated. As we go into July, as normal, we are very busy in both the Clerk and Treasurer's Office. A couple key highlights. As we close out the last fiscal year, we are now into tax bill generation, tax calc for property taxes. That will be going on. It's beginning this week. It will go through next week. So people should be seeing tax bills in their mail the third week of July. If you don't see a tax bill and you're expecting one by the end of the month, please contact the office and we can get you a duplicate. But those will be going out third week of July. Second issue, just a quick heads up. As the district attorney probably knows, we've got busy court schedules. And we have the possibility of two jury trials in August. So the clerk's office and specifically Deputy Clerk Alicia Duke is working hard to prepare for that. We're implementing the jury management system that you all approved for us. And we look forward to using that if we have to. But of course, any jury trial creates more activity and complexity within the office. And so bear with us as we work through that, if those indeed go forward. We are also in coordination with county manager commissioners. We're going to be implementing DocuSign for electronic signing and management of our documents as they're approved in this forum, as well as other forums if they're required. So stay tuned. We'll be working through that, but it should provide us a much greater ability to identify and manage documents through the system to make sure we have all signatures as appropriate and get that done more quickly, as well as to understand where one may be held up, where there are questions, things like that. So, Mr. Chair, you don't have to exercise your wrist so much after a meeting, but we'll be working with that. And so, again, that rollout should allow us to be more efficient in managing where our documents are and when they are complete. And then last but not least, probably the one that's been taking considerable amount of time in our office over the last year. As we've talked about, we are implementing with the Secretary of State's office and other counties around the state a brand new voter registration election management system. It's the front end of all our elections where we are managing our voter rolls and where we will be designing and setting up the election. And when you check in is the most the greatest touch point for all of us as residents in the county. It's where you check in and you are verified that you are a registered voter, and then you get your card to go cast your ballot. We are doing a mock election today and tomorrow down in the Slammer. I very much encourage commissioners to go down, take a look. Mr. Adler, glad you're here. Love to have you take a look as well, because I believe there are some implications with how we go forward with our interactions with the legislative operations committees at the legislature going into the next year. And I think you'll find that, but anybody can stop down there, just take a peep in the door. They'd be happy to kind of explain what's going on, but it is very much a testing aspect of this new system. We will have one more mock election after this. This is the third one we've had, and we keep, you know, identifying improvements that we need to make in order to go live. The expectation from the Secretary of State's office is that we will be prepared to use this system for the November election. And that's what we're testing. Clearly, if we as clerks around the state are not comfortable that it's ready to go, we will not go with it. And we will put pressure on to say that we will use the legacy system. But we are on track and we are moving forward. And this is a good system. We just got to make sure it's ready to implement for November. And that's what I have going on today. Check with me tomorrow.
Wonderful. Thank you for the update, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Jim?
I do not. Thank you, Jim. Nice report.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you for the update.
Again, appreciate it. Are there any offices that I missed or any nonprofits that need to give an update today before we move on? Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for those updates. We are going to get back to the next agenda item here. All right, that brings us to item number 12, which is board comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for us this week, sir?
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Vice Chairman.
I just have one. Last week, I attended three separate town hall meetings, two of them here in the county and one up in Incline Village. And the focus of all of them were some aspect of fire preparedness, fire insurance, and so on and so forth. The first one was actually a meeting of VRPA, the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association. They had some large animal rescue experts that came in, and we gave some really good information about how to prepare for that. The second one was, as was mentioned, the public safety town hall in the Highlands. The last one was particularly interesting. It was the state insurance commissioner came and held a town hall in Incline Village to talk about fire insurance and what they might be able to do to help people, as is happening in our communities, but to an even greater extent. Homeowners up there are being dropped from insurance coverage for fire risk. One gentleman talked about how his premiums went from $14,000 a year to $130,000 a year. And he said, luckily, he's able to afford that, but many are not. And so there was lots of conversation. I would say the conversation was cathartic for some to at least get it out and be heard, while not a ton of really concrete solutions were shared. But there were a couple of items that I thought were of a particular interest that may yield some fruits. The first one was a solution or a suggestion for the state insurance commissioner to actively solicit top-rated insurance companies to come and do business and get licensed to do business in the state to provide a more robust market and have more competition and more offerings available. And he said he'd look into that. A lot of the conversation doesn't apply to us because there are a lot of condos up there, and that's a totally different situation because condos for insurance purposes are considered commercial and not covered under regular homeowners insurance in the same way, and therefore not under the purview of the state insurance commissioner. But another point of conversation, and I don't know if it has application here, and I'd actually like to talk to our fire chief about this, had to do with structure hardening as far as having the right types of siding, gutter guards, venting that's proper and things like that. When you're looking at making sure that the insurance doesn't have an excuse to cancel you, certainly the defensible space is a really important part of that, but also mitigating risk through having the right type of structure may be something else that comes into play. I did want to thank the chief for introducing a couple of documents that people can use if you are facing potential cancellation on your insurance. It's definitely not a magic pill, but may help you preserve that coverage, having to do with certification of our ISO rating as a district and also risk mapping. And so you can keep the insurance companies honest as far as that goes. So I don't anticipate that this is going to turn around. I think it's going to become a bigger and bigger issue. And I think we need to be really on top of it to make sure that it doesn't become an epidemic, if you will. And I know, Chairman, you face some of these issues yourself personally. So anyway, happy to keep working on that. And that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you for that update, Vice Chairman. I don't have anything for us today, so we're going to conclude the board comment and move on to item number 13, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval authorizing the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Silver State Government Relations for lobbying and government affairs services during the Nevada legislative interim and general sessions effective July 1st, 2024 through June 30, 2025 for $6,500 a month. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record. I want to point out that SSGR folks are here, Will Adler and Alex Denchek, principals of SSGR, and they're happy to answer any questions or discuss with you any questions you have. What we have is a renewal or a contract to continue services with SSGR for the full range of lobbying services down at the Nevada legislature. This group has not only been active during the session, but very active throughout the rest of the year, day and night, I would argue, involved in keeping an eye on what's going on in Clark County as well as Carson City, updating us and giving us guidance on various potential bills, other legislative matters, water, things that are going on in a full range of legislation or potential legislation is coming up, most notably the SB1 kind of stuff, and helping us navigate through some of that, abatement territory that exists in the current NRSs as well as what might come in the future. This is a contract being proposed for 1 year The group has discussed with some retirement of other water resources that we have had in the past, that they are going to work on building their organization up to provide water resources expertise, particularly either legal or otherwise. And so we're looking forward to that. So at this point, Will and Alex are there. In front of you is the proposed contract. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Austin. Before I go to questions to the commissioners, either one of you gentlemen have anything to say?
When does Will not have something to say?
Right.
So I just wanted to add some brief remarks here.
Your name for the record, please. Sorry.
Will Adler for the record.
Thank you.
Principal and founder of Silver State Government Relations. I want to remark that Story County and Silver State Government Relations have been working together since 2021, actually, and had about three good stories together. And through those times, we've seen the gambit. But I think we'll see plenty of new twists and turns in the roads to come. But it's the honor of our life to represent this county and going out there every day and saying that we're doing the right thing and making sure you guys have every angle covered and we watch your back wherever we can and promote you in the most positive light has been the joy of our lives the last 3 years. Alex and I have no greater client and we like you guys at the top of the stack. So thank you very much for renewing us and thank you for having us here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Will. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
I do not. I'm delighted that they're going to sign on with us. They've done a wonderful job in the past, and we look forward to that relationship and association in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'll just echo those comments. It's we've done some really good work together, and Will and Alex have caught some things that if we had not caught, would not have been in the best interest of the county. And so really appreciate them watching our backs on the legislative front.
Yeah, I will echo those sentiments and add that, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, I've always had my phone calls picked up. I appreciate the hard work that you and your entire staff do. Glad to see that we got you for another year, I assume. But again, thank you for everything you've done with Innovation Zones, the wonderful legislation of SB 432 last year. That was fun. And I'm sure we got more fun times ahead of us this year. So look forward to engaging in battle or business, whatever you want to call it. With that, is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you ready to make a motion?
I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Silver State Government Relations for lobbying and government affairs services during the Nevada legislative interim and general sessions effective July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025 for $6,500 per month.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Yes.
Appreciate you being up here. Cool. On to item number 14. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-739, a resolution setting the grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045, for appointed Story County officials for the 24-25 fiscal year, and to supersede prior year actions by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the allocation of a kitchen aide to grade 110, interim part-time homemaker to grade 110, interim part-time transport driver to grade 110, and change the program coordinator from interim part-time to full-time position allocated to grade 113. Brandy?
Good morning once again. Brandy Lopez for the record. This resolution will be replacing 24-730. It aims to ensure a fair and updated compensation and for appointed Story County officials and employees with the reallocations of a couple of positions. The kitchen aide, homemaker, transportation driver, and program coordinator. These proposed grade level requests are based on external salary data and as well as internal alignment. These changes to these grade levels have been approved through the budget process. And the proposed resolution confirms the NRS requirement and the board approved budget for the 24-25 fiscal year. Any questions?
Thank you, Brandy. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Brandy, as these are intermittent part-time positions, do you have a rough idea of what this does on an hourly basis? I saw the chart for if it was a full-time equivalent, but moving to a grade 110 from 102, you know what that equivalent is on an hourly basis?
Equivalent on the hourly basis, they were making about $17 an hour, and they're going to be going up to about $20 an hour.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-739, a resolution setting the grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance, a resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2024-25 fiscal year, and to supersede prior year actions by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the allocation of the kitchen aide to grade 110, intermittent part-time homemaker to grade 110, intermittent part-time transportation driver to grade 110, and change the program coordinator from intermittent part-time to a full-time position allocated to grade 113.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brandy. On to item number 15, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the Statement of Work and Managed Services Agreement between Story County and Navient for the provision of Highland On-Bay services for a term of 12 months, not to exceed $90,000. Brandy?
Once again, Brandy Lopez for the record. This is a managed service agreement between Navient and Story County. We're providing to you now as it wasn't quite ready to submit for the agenda time. This agreement aims to provide Story County with reliable and efficient Highland on-base services and enhance operational effectiveness. Navient will be proactively monitoring and managing these software solutions to ensure optimal performance and address any issues, providing expert problem resolution. Navient will be providing their knowledge and expertise while optimizing our existing solutions to improve efficiency and effectiveness. They provided two options in the service agreement. We have chosen to go with the 10 hours a week for 52 weeks. The cost will be $7,500 a month, not to exceed $90,000 for the fiscal year. I can give you a few minutes to review the contract if you'd like. I am here for any questions.
Thank you, Brandy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you, Brandy.
Vice Chairman?
Brandy, can you just tell us what is this primarily in support of OnBase? Is that?
Yes. So currently we utilize OnBase for our agenda items to prepare the agenda. We use it for public records requests. Or we should be using it for public records requests, to be honest, and for for documents through the clerk's office. We've had a lot of issues trying to figure out how the system works, and this is basically to optimize everything so that we can better utilize it for the county.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Is there any public comment?
No comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Statement of Work and Managed Services Agreement from Story County and Navient for the provision of Highland on-base services for a term of 12 months, not to exceed $90,000.
I'll second that motion. Thank you.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brandy. On to item number 16. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the final draft of the Integrated Source Water Protection Plan. The ISWPP is a comprehensive voluntary approach designed to help local governments and communities develop and implement a plan that protects their drinking water supplies, with an emphasis on groundwater resources. See the final draft ISWPP plan on the county website. Kathy.
Yes, thank you. Kathy Campbell for the record. This is the final draft of the Community Source Water Protection Plan. Staff, county staff, along with Tri-GID, Canyon GID, and then some individual industrial partners will work together to come up with a plan for the county to protect source water. And working with NDEP and their consultant, which is Resource Concepts, worked on the plan. Everything in here is voluntary, non-regulatory. A lot of the statements and things match up with our master plan ideas of what we're trying to do. And we had this originally, RCI Resource Concepts gave a presentation at our February Planning Commission meeting to kind of go over what the process was going to be. And then they again saw the final draft at our June 6th Planning Commission meeting. They had a few questions about things, but for the most part, everybody was very supportive of this. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. And then also, I believe Jill Sutherland from Resource Concepts is on board too, if there's any technical questions.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy about the water plan?
I have no questions. Thanks, Kathy, for the report.
Vice Chairman?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. We've been involved with this from several different angles, so appreciate getting it done.
Yep. Is there any public comment regarding this? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
Yep. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the final draft of the Integrated Source Water Protection Plan.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
On to item number 17. This is discussion for possible action. Kathy, would you take it away?
Yes. So this is a request for an abandonment of the streets that are within Miners Park here in Virginia City. It's a portion of F Street and G Street rights of way that are between Mill Street and Carson Street. This is very similar to one we had recently with the fairgrounds, where we have mapped parcels, property lines, right of way, and the actual physical features of the site. You don't see that. So this is something that we're proposing to consolidate, to abandon these pieces, consolidate this all into one parcel. And then that gives us the flexibility to move things around without the need to worry about property lines and rights of way and access. This all still stays public land. As far as the story, county still remains the owner of it. But this is just to help with our flexibility in designing things for that park. The notices, this was originally noticed in the newspaper for our previous meeting. We then pulled this off and re-noticed this in the newspaper for today's meeting. And the Planning Commission heard this. They didn't have any concerns or questions about this, and they voted unanimously to recommend approval.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Kathy, would you like to read the findings?
Sure. So for the motion for approval findings of fact, this approval is to abandon a portion of F Street and G Street rights of way located between Mill Street and Carson Street within the Miners Park property in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. The rights of way to be abandoned will be consolidated into the adjacent parcels of land owned by Story County and become one parcel. The rights of way to be abandoned are contained within APN 001-156-02. The abandonment complies with NRS 278.480 relating to abandonment of a street or easement. The abandonment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to vacation or abandonment of streets or easements, including NRS 278.240. The abandonment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The abandonment will not cause the public to be materially injured by the proposed abandonment. The conditions of approval for the requested abandonment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.12.090, General Provisions, Access and Rights of Way, or any other federal, state, or county regulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. With that, Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings of fact under Section 3A of the staff report read into the record by county staff and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve to abandon a portion of F Street and G Street rights of way located between Mill Street and Carson Street within the Miners Park property in Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. The rights of way to be abandoned will be consolidated into the adjacent parcels of land owned by Story County and become one parcel. The rights of way to be abandoned are contained within APN 001-156-02.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. On to item number 18 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of modifications to the collective bargaining agreement between the Story County Fire Protection District, who is the employer, and the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227, by union. Brandy?
Good morning once again, Commissioners. Brandy Lopez for the record. I wanted to start off by saying that the negotiations went extremely well with the fire union. I was shocked it was only for two meetings. Yeah, it went really well. We already had, so the, what we did for the negotiations was adding the wildland division positions into the contract. We already had all the positions in place for the wildland positions. So adding through policies that we already had created in the union or in the district. So adding them into the contract was pretty easy. We specifically outlined items such as overtime, incentives, holidays, holiday pay. Then we, the only thing that we really had to negotiate on was the steps in their pay. The Wildland Division, their pay schedule was on a 10-step chart, and we were able to successfully negotiate that down to a 7-step to be consistent and aligned with the Story County Firefighters Association's pay schedule. That was pretty much it. Do you have anything to add? No. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No comments. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, prepared to make a motion?
I am. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the tentative agreement between Story County Fire Protection District, or the employer, and the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227, the union, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the modifications to the 2023 to 2026 collective bargaining agreements between the parties.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Chief. On to item number 20, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-722, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed and non-represented Story County Fire Protection District employees for the 24 through 25 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County Fire Protection District employees with the adjustment of removing the wildland grant funded positions and adjusting the salary schedule to 7 steps. Brandy.
So this resolution will replace resolution number 23692 and remove the wildland grant funded positions and adjust the salary schedule to 7 steps. The wildland positions were approved in the fire district budget and will no longer be grant funded. These positions will now be represented by the Story County Firefighters Association collective bargaining agreement. The general salary schedule is being adjusted to a 7-step chart to be consistent with the Story County Firefighter Association salary schedule. And the proposed resolution conforms to the NRS requirements and the board approved final budget for the 2024-25 fiscal year. The wage adjustments are currently accounted for as well in that budget, final budget.
Thank you, Brandy. Chief, do you have any comments or questions before I go to the Fire Commission? Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-722, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed and non-represented Story County Fire Protection District employees for the 2024-25 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed and non-represented Story County Fire Protection District employees.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brandy. On to item number 21, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-731, annually updating mitigation rates for the deployment of emergency and non-emergency services by the Story County Fire Protection District for incidents outside of Story County, large-scale hazardous material incidents, motor vehicle accidents, and negligent or criminal fires. Chief.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. So as the title says, this is just our annual update. So this is just where we declare the cost that it costs the district for the deployment of emergency and non-emergency personnel out to these incidents outside of the county. Even within the county for hazardous materials, motor vehicle accidents, and negligent or criminal fires. I just want to give you a little background on this year, some of the updates we did here. We come to find out the state of Utah is standardizing their billing rates throughout the state, and they put out a document that was really useful in looking at it to see where we compare to some of our neighboring states and organizations. So, we still stayed under theirs. We want our rates to be reasonable, and we base them on a more actual cost. So when we do put these numbers together, you're looking at fully loaded rates for our staffing. And with our equipment, we operate at what's called a wet rate. So that's all the fuel and maintenance that goes with it. So those are how those rates are built and how we come up with it every year. But with the cost of inflation and everything that's going on, it's just important we go through this every year and update it. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments today?
I have no questions, Chief. Thank you.
All right, Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
I'm good, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding these rates? I think the Chief touched on it. Our rates for local residents do not change. It's been a concern over the years. Again, not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-731, updating mitigation rates for the deployment of emergency and non-emergency services by the Story County Fire Protection District for incidents outside of Story County, large-scale hazardous materials incidents, special operating, and negligent or criminal fires.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief. All right. On to item number 22 is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board. On to item number 23, which is discussion only, no possible action. Report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways throughout Story County. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen reporting for Director Wiersbicki. Three items to report. The Lousetown project is full steam ahead. Lime treatment started Monday, so they are on day two of that treatment. Item two is 2024 road rehab is complete, and item three is planning has now started for the 2025 road rehab project. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions back to Director Wiersbicki.
Thank you, Mike. Highway Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments today?
No questions. Thank you.
Highway Commissioner Mitchell?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this update? The only question I have, Mike, do we know what the lime is for? Just to keep the material together?
Well, lime is a subsurface treatment for the soils that are out there. In lieu of taking it way down and putting in base, it was a more cost-effective way of treating the material in place.
Sounds good. Thank you. Highway Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make, no motion. Thank you for that update, Mike.
Thanks, sirs.
All right, on to item number 24 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. On to item number 27, this discussion for possible action. This is the first reading of Bill number 142, Ordinance number 24-330, amending Story County Code Title 8, Health and Safety, Chapter 8.01, Nuisances, to allow appeals of a final decision of the hearing officer to proceed under process for judicial review in district court after the final hearing officer decision. DA Langer.
DA Langer for the record. As you might remember, we had a first reading of this particular ordinance a couple months ago. And due to the questions that were asked by the board, we went back and looked at this ordinance again to, make it more user-friendly. And one of the situations that came up was we have the hearing officers for an informal hearing that are pro tems that we can use from the a jurisdiction outside of Story County. We talked about that. We're in the process of, at the second reading, bringing forward a resolution and at least two pro tems that would serve as the hearing officers. And then the question came up by Commissioner Mitchell, what happens next? And so what we did is go back and look at administrative hearings and see virtually what a lot of the administrative hearings do. There's a lot of different methods that are used across the board with the, that I'm finding when we're looking at the appeal process. But what we found and are presenting to the board, Brian Brown and myself, is to put together a process of a judicial review in district court after the findings of the hearings officer. If either side decides that they don't like the outcome, either side can appeal. One of the issues that was brought up before was the cost of going to district court. Well, in this particular case, when you have a judicial review, you're actually looking at the case de novo, which means you're not looking at it anew in district court. You're looking at the record that was made by the hearings officer and their decision during the informal process. So with that, people can represent themselves. And so we took all those situations into consideration, and that's what we came up with.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about this item?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you, DA Langer. So just to clarify, the process of having a hearing officer, that's a new process that we're proposing or looking at adopting, or is that something that already exists if someone wants to appeal a decision?
It already exists. It already exists, but one of the situations that we didn't have is that we did not have hearing officers. So when we've had a few appeals from this statute, or excuse me, from this ordinance, what we did was go out and find pro tems, which we were able to do the legal review on it, that the pro tems can be outside of the jurisdiction. We went we checked around all of the counties nearby to see who's actually a pro tem. So we got the pro tem list, and then we reviewed that. So that'll be the next thing that comes before you, is that the potential pro tems that we have will come before the board. And also, as part of this ordinance, we have a compensation schedule that will also come before you to pay the pro tems for the work.
Okay, thank you. In regards to, I certainly appreciate all the work that's gone into this, what's in my mind is kind of weighing or balancing the advantages and disadvantages of having the Board of County Commissioners as kind of the next step in that appeals process
versus a judicial review. And I wonder about if there are differences in the way that the items will be looked at, or the possible solutions that may come out of that. And wondering if there's a possibility to provide an either or, so that if someone is not satisfied with what comes from a hearing officer, if they could opt to either come to the Board of County Commissioners or to take it to the district court for judicial review, based on where they feel like they would have a more fair situation, or whatever the case may be. Thoughts?
Well, thoughts or legal opinion? Because I have both.
Give us a two for one.
generally, there's one process that would take place. And when I was looking at the situations, when I was looking at whether to go before the board generally comes into play on certain appeals from, let's say, an HR decision, or when the matters come before the board regarding licensing processes. So that is usually where I've found that the board comes into play. In this particular situation, under this ordinance, and then the next ordinance we'll be talking about, it's more of a standard that I'm seeing throughout the statutes, because the more civil work I have been doing, the more appeal processes I have been looking at. And so certain ones, I think when you have the situation, when you have a pro tem situation, I think that the judicial review for an administrative hearing is generally the course of conduct. And one of the things you want to stay away from is it used to be when I was I still am a prosecutor, but when I was in Carson City, I was head of the criminal division. And one of the things that people shouldn't be doing is looking for, you want a certain prosecutor because you're going to get a better deal. And that shouldn't be the option, especially in this situation, because when you say de novo, you're not seeing it again. So in the appeal process, you're actually going after the original record that generally in the administrative hearing venues, it generally goes to the district court for a judicial review, is what I've found.
Okay. Yeah. And one of my concerns with the de novo designation on it, one of my concerns, I think, is that citizens will feel like, to be properly able to navigate the court system, they will feel the pressure to be represented. And I'm conscious of pushing a burden onto citizens to take on the expense and the hassle of hiring an attorney to resolve an issue if it's possible not to. And so I realize that it's not necessary. I'm concerned that the trappings of the court, so to speak, may make people feel like they're not capable of representing themselves in that situation.
Well, what I've found and what brought this ordinance has been in effect since 2017. And one of the things that's just come up recently is that there are more attorneys involved in the hearing process. So a lot of times these people are represented by attorneys themselves. And then the other part of it is what I've found, because there's a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but enough over the course of my career that pro per people do represent themselves. And in this informal hearing process, they can either represent themselves there. So it would be almost the same thing, because they would have represented themselves in the hearing process or had an attorney represent them. So when they go up there, it would be virtually the same type of thing in this courtroom with a judge. And just virtually the judge would be ruling off the record, and they'd be making an argument on something they'd already presented. So it's not like it's this big, scary situation, at least I've found. And I've had plenty of pro pers on the other side that, they love to go to court. So either way, the ones that I see that are being appealed, Well, they haven't been appealed yet, but I'm getting more traffic from the attorneys involved starting out at the lower level.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I guess my question to my fellow commissioners is, you know, do we feel that in the interest of good governance and the proper situation, do we feel that people are better served by using the courts, who are certainly equipped to handle this type of thing, or retaining that responsibility ourselves as a Board of County Commissioners to be kind of that final level of appeal? And I'm just not sure. That's kind of the doubt in them. And if the decision is to go forward, I believe there are a couple of places in the proposed ordinance that still references board, and I think that would need to be changed to court. But those are just typographical things.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments right now?
Yeah, my comment would be is that my concern is if the final decision rests with the board, it becomes perhaps more of a political decision rather than one of a legal precedent. And so I'm generally not in favor of the board taking on the responsibility of the final review process. But I prefer that the board stays out of things that certainly could have political ramifications based on the decisions. That's my comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Do you have anything in response to that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and I certainly agree with that concern. I think it's a valid one and proper. I think the other side of the coin for me is looking at it from a perspective of, you know, our investiture in the community puts us in kind of a unique situation to want to come up with as win-win a situation as possible, and to try to you know, we may be more familiar with kind of the details of what's going on, not just necessarily what happened in the hearing. And so I'm not 100% saying that makes us in a better position to evaluate. I think that it's different. I think it's a different situation, and I think there are pros and cons to each. So,
well, and with you saying that, Commissioner Mitchell, de novo, all you can look at as the appeal process is the record itself. So any facts that you have, it'd be like sitting on a jury and having additional facts that you're taking into consideration that you can't, because you have to go off of the record below, and that is it.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, I wear a ton of hats already. I'm definitely not interested in being personally part of this. I have to side with Commissioner Gilman on this one. I think, you know, personally, I think there's potential for it to become an issue. We have a lot of decisions ahead of us on a daily basis anyway. I'm perfectly content keeping this out of our jurisdiction. Is this, DA Langer, is this something, obviously we can, if this turns out to not be a great idea, we can always revert back to or change this up going forward?
Well, you can always amend
the resolution.
Well, this is the first reading. So in the second reading, we can talk about it in between as far as something that you want to look at. So this is just the first reading to see where we're going with this ordinance. And that's what we did last time. I did a first reading and I was asked to go back to the drawing board, and that's what we did. And we continued it. And here we are again today with the changes that were made based on a lot of the comments that were made by the board last time. So legally, and looking at it and following through with what a general administrative hearing is in an informal process, this is virtually, one of the, you know, the method that we're recommending basically to the board that would serve the purpose of what I believed legally was brought forward last time I was here.
All right. we may be at an impasse. Vice, is there any public comment? Sorry.
Hi, Amanda Hunt.
Yes.
Sorry, Commissioner. I just have one quick question. The language with respect to the appeals process itself, so I'm referring to section 15.08.070, seems to...
We're on 8.
I'm sorry?
We're not on...
So we're not on 15. We're actually on 8.
My apologies.
Chapter 8.
15 is the next one.
Do you want to wait for the next agenda item, or do you still want to jump in here?
No, sir. I'll wait till the next agenda item. I apologize.
That's okay. Is there any other public comment? Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I can make a motion if it's the will of the board that we go ahead with it. I'm not necessarily opposed to it from that strongly. And one other question before I do. And that was in section 8.01.110, which talks about potential criminal penalties. If I'm reading it correctly, it appears that each day that someone is in violation after they've been given time frames to fix and so on and so forth, and appeals process and what have you, each day is considered a separate violation or separate misdemeanor. And I'm wondering if that feels heavy-handed.
Well, what I can tell you is that I've been actually criminally prosecuting these cases since 2017, and we take it as a period of time. And, not everybody to date, there's been one criminal prosecution that I've actually had, generally the program, and I give a shout out to the community development, because for many, many years, we've been able to not have to go forward with a criminal prosecution because we have a deferred prosecution program that people enter into and voluntarily work with the community development to cure the nuisance prior to ever going on the criminal complaint. So as far as the reading of that statute the ordinance in that section versus what has actually been done, that is not something that that I'm prone to do as a prosecutor, and I have not done as a prosecutor. So that's 7 years later. So it's there, but it has not been used once.
Yeah. I know that that's not a proposed change on this agenda item, and I don't know if it would have to be agendized to consider something like that, because it's in this section, it's not necessarily called out as something that we're looking at changing. To me, it feels a little heavy-handed for every day to be a separate potential misdemeanor. And it seems like, unless you tell me otherwise, DA Langer, that having the criminal penalty in there without each day being a separate offense still leaves the teeth to charge it criminally if someone is
The criminal and the civil part of these ordinances are to get rid of nuisances the best way we can. And going criminally is generally the last resort. I have to give a shout out to the community development, because if you were to look at their wall on how many people, because the way that this all starts is that there's a complaining party that says there's a nuisance, and then community development goes out, and I would say, and Pete Renaud would be the best one, so I don't want to throw out a percentage that's incorrect, but I would say a majority of these cases are voluntarily handled and never come to my office. When you get to my office, that means that you have had every chance in the world to accomplish and work with community development to get rid of the nuisance, and you haven't done it. You just haven't done it. And then when you get to my office, one of the things that we've put in place, because again, it's not looking at all the years of nuisances and trying to make the town a better place by just its ambiance, the properties, a lot of these people need help to even get started because they're just so many things have built up over a course of years that they don't even know where to begin. And that's where the community development has really worked well with them. And we immediately asked them, a majority of them, well, almost all of them, except all of them so far that have hit my desk have gone into the pre-prosecution program. And it's an 18-month program that gives individuals a chance to not even be criminally prosecuted. So if it's something between the second and the first and second reading, if you feel just that line being taken out in the second reading, that can be looked at.
Very good. Thank you. I'd be comfortable with that. I'm happy to make a motion if
I need to read the title before. Okay. First reading of bill number 142. Austin, can you come read these? You're better at it than I am. He is. He always reads my titles.
No, you're off today.
Austin. He's better. You put the best foot forward.
What do you want me to read?
Just the title.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I guess per Ann Wenger, I'm going to read the title. It's a first reading of bill number 142, ordinance number 24330, amending the Story County Code Title 8, Health and Safety, Chapter 801 or 8.01, nuisances to allow appeals of a final decision of the hearing officer to proceed under the process for judicial review in district court after the final hearing officer decision. PA Langer, is that satisfactory?
It is, and your name is on the prepared part of this, so you are part of the presentation.
It was Austin Osmer for Brian Brown, but that's okay.
It's all right, just stay up there. Vice Chairman, are you now prepared?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading amending Story County Code Title 8, Health and Safety, Chapter 8.01, nuisances to allow appeals of a final decision of the hearing officer to proceed under a process of judicial review in district court after the final hearing officer decision.
And then with the amendment, if you put the amendment to the one section you wanted to have that language taken out.
Should we do that at this point?
Sure.
Okay. I further move to amend section 8.01.110 to eliminate the last line, which reads, each day of any violation constitutes a separate offense.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number 28, discussion for possible action. Austin, would you like to read it? Did a great job.
Sure, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record, on behalf of the DA's office. This is the first reading of bill number 143, ordinance number 24-331, amending Story County Code Title 15, Buildings and Construction, to more efficiently hear and decide appeals of orders, decisions, and determinations made by the building official or determinations made by the fire marshal about the International Fire Code, the Wildland Urban Interface Code, or any amendments by adding an option for appeals to be heard by the hearing officer in situations where the full Board of Appeals is not seated, and by adding a process for judicial review after the Board of Appeals / hearing officer decision. And then after DA's presentation, I do have one question that will be brought up. We can discuss it then. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments on this so far?
Not at this point. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
I probably will, but I'll hold him for now. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to public comment.
Hi, Amanda Hunt again. My quick question is just that the language seems to mirror NRS 233B and the procedure set forth therein. So my question was, why was that statute just not implicitly brought into this ordinance? If there was anything, I'm just curious if there was any reason why it just wasn't brought in by reference instead of bringing the language in separately.
DA Langer?
Well, I think if she's talking about the 233B and Brian Brown's here with me, that that particular language was very broad. And in order to, there were a lot of, Brian, do you want to handle this? You're on mute.
If I may, and it's a very good question, Brian Brown for the record from the Story County District Attorney's Office. The reason we tried to mirror that and we wanted to mirror that is it's an excellent administrative appeal process. If you look at the specific language contained in the Administrative Procedures Act under the NRS, it is jurisdictionally limited to agencies of the state of Nevada. And so we felt that instead of just referencing the language to the Administrative Procedures Act, to make no question this is how Story County wanted to do it, we adopted the language so it would apply to us, so there would be no question of whether or not the procedure set forth in 233B would apply to us, since the statutory language specifically limits it to the agencies of the state of Nevada.
And that's really, and that's what we were looking at as far as this judicial review, Commissioner Mitchell, is that that's where we went. So that was the next review after a administrative hearing. But then when you look at the language, as Deputy DA Brown has pointed out, is that it doesn't apply to a county. It's generally a state regulated. So it wouldn't, the concepts of what we were trying to do with the judicial review on the county is included here. Because to put a 233B, it is applicable to state agencies and really didn't have the application that we needed to bring it before the county. Is that, would you agree with that, Deputy DA Brown?
Yeah, we wanted to make it abundantly clear that this is the process and what we weren't just trying to say, apply this to us, since the statute limits it to state agencies.
Right. What's the question?
Thank you so much for that clarification.
Is there any other public comment?
Just one, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
So a comment came in during this meeting from a member of our team. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to reach you earlier and discuss that in the last several minutes. But probably between first and second reading, I understand that there's opportunity for modifications to be made. And so if something is brought up at this meeting, that it can be discussed and then brought up at the next meeting during second reading.
Yes.
So the question is, what we're dealing with here is we have a Board of Appeals that makes decisions on matters pertaining to the building official as well as the fire official, fire marshal. The language that's written in there right now references the WUI code, the Albany Urban Interface, the Fire Matters and Fire International Code. The question is, should we have this modified a bit, also to reference either the International Building Code, or maybe more appropriately, is just the International Code Council codes. Maybe that's something that can be looked at between now and second reading.
Right.
And then DA Langer and her team can kind of make that more, you know, morph that into whatever is most appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you.
So virtually that just sounds like what we would be doing is changing the codes for the international codes versus what's actually set forth here. So those changes can be amended. I'd ask for to have this at least looked at to be included as a amendment to the motion to have us look at this particular item. Okay. Now you can add that language that they're going to want. Yeah. And read the title again.
Is there any other public comment?
I have another question before we proceed.
Vice Chairman, go ahead.
So I'm, this is kind of a broad 30,000 foot view. My understanding is we've had trouble filling our Board of Appeals. I guess one of my concerns to some extent mirrors the concern that I had, you know, with substituting pro tems or hearing officer for a Board of Appeals. It appears to me that a Board of Appeals is to be made up of certain individuals with understanding of trades, construction, so on and so forth. And as such, it seems that the regulation of a dispute in that regard is specific to the methods and how to preserve health and safety and so on and so forth. And I guess one of my concerns is if we shift the person hearing the appeal over to someone whose background is more in the legal field, does that shift it more into a legal question as opposed to a how do we get a solution on the methods, materials, so on and so forth? And does that disadvantage our citizens in some way?
I don't think so. I think one of the situations that we had here in looking at this, first of all, the people, again, that you're bringing in, well, let's start. So let me rewind. The individuals that you have on the Board of Appeals, the problem is if you can't get three people to hear the case, and again, it's a informal hearing process, then what happens? The case is dismissed. There's nothing that gets done at all. And one of the things that you have to look at, and that's the one thing that you'll be able to see when we bring the people forward as the pro tems, because if you don't have three people, you have to have another alternative to be able to have someone hear the case. And when you're talking about pro tems are judges. So when you have pro tems, that means that they sit on criminal cases, on civil cases. They hear all sorts of facts about all sorts of things. So the fact that you have a legal background, well, look at in my legal background. I do criminal, I do civil, I do property, I do, you know, just all sorts of things. So it's an information gathering that when you have a judge that is listening to this, I guess those are questions that when we are looking at the pro tems that are going to hear these cases, if we can't have a board, because you can't, we were considering all sorts of things. And we were working with Mr. Osborne and his group on this, because you can't just go from, let's say, the community development on what they bring to the table, and then what the person who's arguing it brings to the table, and then just go straight if you don't have the three people to a judicial review, because there hasn't even been a hearing. So I think as far as judges, they hear different subject matter all the time. And that's just part of who they are and what their job responsibilities are.
Yeah, and I certainly don't doubt that. I just, again, their method of processing information, I believe, or coming to a conclusion is substantially different from a consideration of building practices and what's going on in that kind of a decision-making process. Do we have flexibility as far as trying to fill the positions in a Board of Appeals? For example, could we choose to make it a paid position as opposed to a volunteer position?
We could look at it and include it in the language. And you know, when you're looking at the people on this board, these people are going to be coming from their position, you know, much like math. You know, you're looking at an architect, an engineer, a general contractor licensed by the state of Nevada. I mean, you have to follow the rules and regulations, much like when you'd get a legal opinion on following the rules and regulation. The next person is a fire protection professional. So these are all people that have, well, like one of the things that we're going to be looking at is the international code. So when you have this group of people and you have a person at large, so that person, that's another person involved in it. But, you know, generally, the thought process of these three people versus a judge listening to the same information, they're all going to be governed by the same statutes and not something that's specific to their industry. So I'm not as concerned about they, in my estimation, they would all have to follow the same rules regardless. It's an informal process that one of the things that this ordinance works on is again, allowing a informal process that doesn't have all the evidence. And so you don't have to, you know, have everything marked and have it done a certain way that you would in a court of law. So I just think that the end result will be similar in the sense of what they have to follow as far as the anything that you have to follow, because that is what I've found in dealing with community development. When somebody is would be coming before one of these hearings, it's because there's a code violation. So you're always working on the code violation, and the community development is going to say why they're violating the code, and the other group is going to be talking about why they didn't. So I really think that the groups that you have, that's why it'd be, and if we don't have a Board of Appeals that that is going to govern, the other alternative is we have to have some sort of interim before it would go on to the judicial process. If you want us to look again for the amendment of compensation, of course that could be added if that's something that you think is something that you want.
Understood. And I certainly don't disagree that it would have to follow the same set of rules. I think the thought processes, I think the different backgrounds, I think potentially you get to a different result, because often a code violation is something that needs to be resolved to move forward with a building project. And I think it could yield a different outcome. Not to say that one or the other is better. I think the goal in the whole process may be different. I'm comfortable going ahead with the first reading, Mr. Chairman, if that's the pleasure of the board. I'm just really sensitive about anything that might disadvantage or take away a really fair and broad process from our citizens.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. If you're prepared to move forward, Vice Chairman, let's do so. You care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I can do that. Just a second to get back to the...
If you would like, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to help you with a motion, as there's been some potential amendments. If you like, I can read the motion with an integrated amendment, and then you can decide to adopt it if you choose.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm not certain. I believe I'm following Commissioner Mitchell's approach here, but I would be in favor of continuing this item as opposed to voting on the first reading. I believe that if there are far-reaching consequences, which I'm not prepared to evaluate completely today, we are addressing a county's process and procedure that I have watched develop over the last 20 years and has worked well. And I'm just not certain and comfortable at this point that what we're approaching here has the potential of changing or exacerbating or confusing that approach. I'm not suggesting that it will or it won't, but I'm not prepared to vote to approve this first reading today.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. So just for clarification, DA Langer, we can approve the first reading, make several changes, have the second reading put on the agenda, let's say a month from now. And then if we are not comfortable with those changes, we don't have to approve the second reading. Am I correct?
Well, we can do it either way. One of the things I liked about what we did last time that has brought us where we are here today is the concerns that you have, and for us to come back with another first reading with those integrated, because really what you have here is not that different from the changes granted the judicial review. And if there isn't a group of people willing to sit as the on the board, the only other process you have is to bring in the pro tems. So there is a informal hearing. So if that is of concern, we can just figure out, what the concerns are. Also, if there is not a voluntary position, that it is a compensated position. One of the things that always has been brought up here today and brought up last time we were here is that maybe one of the things we want to look at is to make sure that these people that are in these positions can actually, that we put in there like we did the pro tems, that they're outside the jurisdiction. We can have these types of people outside the jurisdiction so you don't have a conflict of interest of somebody that's sitting on this board, because that's the other problem. you know, that that some of these matters, when you have, because we're so small in nature, as far as a county and residents, is that I'm sure that anybody coming before the board that wants to either side would, you know, want a fair group of people evaluating their situation. So I think it's better that we look at this, that Brian and I go back to the drawing board and bring it in for a first reading so there's no confusion and we just keep it clean.
Okay, fair enough. So we're going to postpone this item?
Yes.
All right. You comfortable with that, Vice Chairman?
I am, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the wisdom, Commissioner Gilman. You know, one of the big CEOs of one of these companies said one of the big things that brought them here was the predictability in our processes. And I agree that if we're going to make a change, we want to make sure there's similar predictability,
right,
and that people can rely on outside of the business park as well as inside the business, right, park. And I think that that's a good argument for being cautious and working on it to make sure that we get the best result.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
So if you like, Mr. Chairman, I can make a motion to continue the item.
That'd be great.
This is Clay Mitchell, or Commissioner Mitchell. I move to continue item number 28 to Langer, if we do our next regular meeting, does that give enough time to take a look at this?
It does.
Okay. Our next regular meeting on July 16th, 2024, here at the courthouse and on Zoom.
Second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Austin.
On to item number 29. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second reading for item A only. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thanks.
Is there any public comment for this second reading? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of the business license listed under item 29A.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 30. This is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment today? Hold on, Mr. Schmidt.
For the record, Gary Schmidt.
Excuse me, Mr. Schmidt. Hold on 1 second, please. Thank you. Go ahead.
For the record, Gary Schmidt's first opportunity I've had to appear here since the election. I want to begrudgingly congratulate Mr. Mitchell for his victory, but place a couple things on the record. In my campaigning, I certainly have made a lot of new friends and can assure you, as I've stated before, there's a lot of people out in the community not happy with this commission or with this county. And I believe that there's a substantial continuing corruption going back a century and a half. I'd also like to place on the record that, you know, for those that don't know, you know, we run by district in Story County, but you file by district, but you run by countywide. And I was filed in District 1 against Mr. Mitchell, and I beat Mr. Mitchell in District 1, just by a hair. But the people in District 1 wanted me sitting there, not Mr. Mitchell. It's District 2 and District 3 that want Mr. Mitchell there. And there's something flawed about that system, that because District 1 is not going to be represented by the person they wanted to be represented by. Most other counties, Washoe County, Carson City, etc., county commissions or Board of Supervisors at Woodwood, you file by a district and you're elected by that district. And I believe it's a more appropriate way to provide
representation of the people on the county commission. Additionally, I've served, if you would, a notice on Mr. Mitchell, who happens to be secretary of the Story County Republican Central Committee, about a special meeting called in the Central Committee. I wanted to make sure he had official notice of it, because he has 2 days to notify all the members of the Central Committee of the special meeting that will be held at the Delta at 6:30 on Monday, July 15th. And I invite any good Republican conservatives in Story County that are not familiar with the Central Committee or not on the Central Committee to attend that meeting, and we can see about getting you active in the Republican Party in this county. Again, it's at the Delta Saloon on July 15th at 6:30. It'll be upstairs, so you're all welcome.
Thank you, Mr.
to attend. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any, we're going to move on to item number 31, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:52. Wish you all a happy 4th of July. Stay safe. Enjoy the fireworks in town. 11:52, this meeting is adjourned.